an exchange control practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, also known as CDH, Louis Buerta. Louis, good evening and welcome to the show.
Evening, good. Thank you. Good to be with you and your listeners.
Great to touch base with you. And this is an interesting one, right, Louis? Because when it comes to paying our taxes, many of us try to comply. Sometimes the law uses individuals as examples. But we often, I guess, just assume that confidentiality will be guaranteed unless you happen to be a high-profile person. But help us understand why this has proven to be quite a significant theme and topic in light of the recent news flow.
Yes, Gugu. So I think just to for a bit of background, the taxpayer confidentiality provisions have always been in our legislation for a number of years. But in the last 18 months to 2 years, we've had a couple of cases sort of that have involved this. Now, generally, the principle is that all taxpayer information that is provided by the taxpayer to SARS will be confidential. But there are, of course, certain exceptions and there are instances that happen, something specifically in a commercial perspective, is that, for example, there was the recent case that you referred to was where a specific entity, SARS, had requested them to provide certain information. They felt that the information need not be provided. And when SARS tried to compel them in the court to do so, they then requested the court to have the proceedings be declared confidential. Presumably,
which is not standard practice, I presume.
So it's not standard practice. Yes, correct. Uh-huh. So the whole thing regarding confidentiality in that case, although it was not clearly articulated by the taxpayer in that case, was that they did not want certain commercial information to be disclosed, because if a hearing goes to the is before the High Court, then the general rules regarding confidentiality do not apply.
That's an interesting one, because I would sit back and think, well, why wouldn't you want to disclose this, especially if you don't have anything to hide? How's the law interpreted that?
Yes, and I think that's the main issue in that case. So, ironically, essentially, whereas the taxpayer, they tried to prevent certain information from being disclosed, the fact is that now, of course, at least the existence of the dispute is now in the public domain. And just maybe to quickly just draw the comparison with the tax court that you previously alluded to, the issue is essentially that the tax court has limited jurisdiction and can only hear so-called or specifically tax appeals and then certain interlocutory applications regarding tax appeals. So a tax appeal is about the merits of your assessment. So let's say you submit your return to SARS, issue an assessment, maybe they audit you and they charge additional tax. So if you dispute that additional assessment, that is going to be the subject of a tax objection and appeal, and that will automatically go to the tax court. But anything else that is not constitute a tax appeal, that maybe where you want to challenge the assessment on a different ground, say, for example, on the basis of review in terms of PAJA, the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, as soon as you want to challenge it on that basis, then it has to go to the High Court, because the tax court is not of jurisdiction to hear that case. And then flowing from that, in the tax court, there's automatic confidentiality, but in the High Court, the complete opposite.
And maybe let's discuss that, because that's the concern, right? That these different courts might have different rules, which then lead to different outcomes. And is that a fair thing to do when we're dealing with the law? Can we really implement things on a case-by-case basis, or does there need to be one rule for all circumstances?
So there isn't necessarily a concern that you have different rules. I think the context one has to understand this in is that legislation is drafted and rules are put together with having a certain perspective and sort of in God in mind. But of course, situations can arise where there might be consequences that were unintended. Now, it's not clear if you look at the Tax Administration Act, which basically prescribes the jurisdiction of the tax court. It's not clear in terms of that legislation and its rules whether this was something that was intended or not. But the fact is, what cases about confidentiality that go to the High Court illustrate is that the effect of the legislation as it stands is that if you approach a case, you know, if you're not within the tax court jurisdiction, automatically there is the confidentiality issue. So, of course, also just bearing in mind, maybe in the case of a tax appeal, if either SARS or whichever the losing party is in the tax court, if either of those parties appeal the judgment, then it would go to the high court or a higher court, and then it would be in the public domain. So, in that sense, it is possible that something that starts out confidential becomes public knowledge. But I think the question that should be asked is, you know, is it the intention that where something does not fall within the tax court jurisdiction, that the subject matter should automatically be in the public domain just because it's in the high court? That really is the question that is being asked.
That's an interesting take. And I guess if you've just joined our conversation, a reminder to you that are joining us this evening, we are speaking to Louis Botha, Senior Associate in the Tax and Exchange Control Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, giving us some insight into a lack of clarity that's been provided at the moment regarding taxpayer confidentiality, where ordinarily what we would witness is that taxpayers do have a heightened sense of confidentiality, your company financials and perhaps even figures and stats and data regarding your financial operations and how it is that they impact your tax affairs, and that would typically be protected around the tax court. However, in recent years, we've actually seen that public figures like former President Jacob Zuma, as a case in point, have had several questions about the publication of their tax affairs being made available and not necessarily being kept confidential. And that, as it moves to other courts, does then change the rules and I guess the scope in terms of confidentiality, leading to very different outcomes. And I guess, Louis, for us as South African workers, you know, some of us are entrepreneurs, some of us are employed, and perhaps because we don't have the billions and billions that some high-profile individuals in high-profile cases might share, help us understand what the impact on taxpayer confidentiality might be on us as ordinary citizens as we do find ourselves in the middle of a tax filing season at the moment. Are there, I guess, far-reaching consequences to the potential outcomes of this dynamic?
So I think the case that gave rise to this issue, this case in the High Court regarding this entity, the structured mezzanine investment, is probably the exception rather than the rule. I think one of the more more anticipated or more interesting cases is the one regarding where the confidentiality provisions were challenged in the High Court last year, and the High Court made a provisional finding that to the extent that you cannot disclose taxpayer information pursuant to a prior application, that is unconstitutional. Now, that issue, and that relates to former President Zuma's tax record. Now, that case is going to the Constitutional Court next month, and the Constitutional Court will then have to confirm whether the High Court's finding of unconstitutionality should be confirmed or not. I think that case has potentially more important implications for the public at large, because what that case will have to address is how, essentially, under what circumstances, outside of that already provided for in the tax legislation, can a person's tax information be made known. Now, of course, essentially it comes down to a public interest issue, so yes, it's still potentially... Yeah,
and I was about to say, would that also matter because it's a public figure, right? Versus someone like you and I that most people wouldn't necessarily be concerned about, but the former president, oh well, we're quite interested to understand how deep his pockets were and what he was doing. Does that play a factor as well? I guess the level of public interest or societal interest?
Yes, correct. So essentially in the prior legislation, you have something called the so-called public interest override provision at the moment. So that's the main thing that will be tested. So yes, of course, it is different to, you and I are different to, for example, to prominent public figures such as the former president. But I think because this is the first time that something like this has been challenged, and taxpayer confidentiality has always been something that has been sort of assumed, I think it will be important, whatever the outcome of that case is, it will be useful and important for the court to clarify and explain exactly how that public interest override applies, so that you and I know, okay, it is only in these very exceptional cases where there is a risk that my tax information can become public without my knowledge, that kind of thing.
Got you on that one. I guess to close off with then, Louis, as you say, lots of areas and aspects as to how this might unfold. And of course, the clarity we'll get specifically related to the former president's case. But in the meantime, what do we need to be mindful of in terms of the outcomes, when these outcomes might be shared, and of course, their impact on all taxpayers, let alone those who are well known and in the public sphere?
I think for the you guys, sort of the ordinary taxpayers, I think we don't need to be concerned at this stage that our information will become known and so on. I think for us, it's a matter of submitting our tax returns as and when we're required and so on, and sort of keeping an eye on the outcome in the former president's case and any potential changes in the law that then have to come into effect. But for us, you and I. It doesn't really have an impact at this stage, and I think whatever the outcome of that case is, it's likely that SARS would, as they have done through their media department, will probably issue some sort of guidance and clarity as to how the provisions will be applied and so on. So, for you and I, it's not something that much that we need to be concerned about, just to ensure that we keep our tax base in order, submit our returns timely, and if we do anything sort of complex or consider something complex, get proper tax advice. And as long as we do that, you and I and the common man should be fine.
Got you on that. Well, thanks for that clarity there, Luen. But it doesn't necessarily mean we must flout the rules. We're still playing by the rules, as you said, making sure that we do comply with it. But it will make for interesting reading to see individuals and institutions that are in public interest actually seeing their confidentiality being done away with, especially in high profile cases where it might just help us to identify how to follow the money when it does come to financial misdemeanors and any criminal activity that might be linked to their finances there. Louis, thank you so much for your time this evening, and I guess a gentle reminder and even educating us on this key development, and we'll be looking forward to seeing the outcomes that do come through from the High Court versus what we're currently aware of from the Tax Court. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Eugen. Have a good evening.
Fantastic. That's Louis Boita, Senior Associate in the Tax and Exchange Control Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr.